Hello, and welcome to Stirring the Pot on your listener-supported station, Island Connection, streaming live on the Voice of Vashon.org, 101.9 FM LP, KVSH LP, on Vashon. We're here in the Gene Bosch studio in beautiful downtown Vashon, broadcasting live right into your ears.
And kitchens.
And kitchens, yes. You're listening to Stirring the Pot. I think I said that. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. We have a really special show today that I'm excited to share with you. With me in the studio are two of my favorite people. We have Celine Demire. Hi, Celine.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
This is Celine's debut on radio, and she's... We're going to talk a lot about food. I met Celine in, a few months ago.
Yeah, it was the Woman Hold the Keys
Women Hold the Key, and it was an event, and she was making Turkish coffee. Celine is from Turkey, and she's been in the U.S. for a long time, on Vashon for about 6 years, I think, right?
In Vashon, yes.
Yeah, on Vashon. Yes. So Celine is here in the studio, and we're excited to hear some of her stories about Turkish food and how she got here. And we're lucky to have Heidi Skrypek at the engineering board.
Hello.
Hi, Heidi.
Thank
you. Hi. Heidi is an old hand at this, and she helps us immensely because I'm unable.
She says that, but she's totally, perfectly capable. It's just that I'm just here because I'm paparazzi.
Yeah, she's paparazzi, that's for sure. So, Celine.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's chat a little bit. Welcome. I'm really glad you're
Thank
here.
You.
We're
Me
gonna
too.
We're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
So you're from Turkey, and what prompted you? Let's just talk a little bit about your background. I think, you know, let's let our listeners get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
What prompted you to leave Istanbul and come to the United States to go to school?
It was kind of a family dream.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So my dad came to the United States about 5 years prior to me.
Oh,
arriving.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
After I graduated from high school, it was time for me to come and go to college.
I see.
So yeah.
And you never left.
No.
Except for trips.
That was almost 3 decades ago.
Yeah. Well, we're sure glad you're here.
Thank you.
Celine and I were talking one day about Turkish food, and I was waxing poetic about some dish. I don't remember what it was that I ate. And she said, well, you know, I was raised in a neighborhood that wasn't all Turkish in Istanbul. So it's kind of a fascinating story. Can you tell us a little bit about the different cultures you were surrounded with in Istanbul?
Yeah, happy to. So my paternal grandparents and my father was born in Macedonia. So
okay.
Back in the days, it was Yugoslavia.
Okay.
And so when they migrated to Turkey, mid-50s, they all moved into this neighborhood where they had neighbors all migrated from Macedonia or different parts of Yugoslavia.
So it was like a little Italy it was a little Macedonia.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So I grew up with eating the food from that everybody in Macedonia or Yugoslavia, different parts of Yugoslavia or Bosnia and Herzegovina is like we had neighbors from that part of Yugoslavia and we had neighbors from the Serbia part of Yugoslavia. So we all had like differences in the cooking methods and food, but they were all very, very similar. So that's the food culture I grew up in.
So. And you had different recipes depending on who was cooking that day?
I had an older aunt who would usually cook meals per se, and then I had a younger aunt who loved to make bureks, like more or baklavas and stuff like that. And my grandma always made great northern beans or cannellini beans.
Yeah.
It was for my grandpa, as long as my grandpa lived, every night we had to have that.
You had to have beans every night?
That was his request. I don't know what it was, the reason.
Well, I love them too. Yeah, but every night. I don't need them every night.
Yeah. But after he passed away, my grandma never baked.
She didn't
ever again.
I don't blame her. I have a story not similar, but I was a Thanksgiving cook for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And when that situation ended, I said, I will never cook another Thanksgiving as long as I live. And I haven't. Yeah. And that was 30 years ago. So I get it. Yeah. You know, after a while, you just get kind of worn out.
And she liked meats a lot more.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. So like, what was the composition of the meal?
So every meal we had a soup, some type of a soup.
Okay.
And as a starter, and then we would have some, either beans or, she always made keftes. Mm-hmm. Or chicken that would be baked with potatoes.
Mm.
Or kefte with potatoes. It would, or with rice. So you always have either rice or pasta or potatoes.
Mm.
So that was always together. Mm-hmm. Like it was part of it. And then we would have some type of a dessert too. Almost every time we had something.
You have to have dessert.
Yeah.
You have to have dessert.
I have a question.
Yes.
What is kefta?
Oh, kefte is the Turkish meatball. So it has lots of spices in it. It's usually made with ground lamb. Sometimes you can mix ground lamb with ground beef and onion and breadcrumbs. So it's almost like the meatballs, but it's just a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all really good.
Very yummy. But
you also have Greek influences, mm-hmm, in your cooking and in your heritage, correct?
Yes. My maternal grandmother's father was from Saloniki.
Okay.
So, and also Greek food, Macedonian food, Turkish food are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
As much as they have these political debates, but they're the foods are so similar. I mean, I think it's just a little bit of differences in, mm-hmm, the cooking techniques, maybe, or some of the ingredients.
But little bit different spice,
yes,
or a little, yes, bit different simmering,
yeah,
sauce.
Yeah.
You know, that's reminiscent of so many kitchens when, yeah, only I know the right way to make this dish.
Yeah.
You know, did you have a lot of that grandma stuff going on too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of discussion about the proper way,
yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah. You know, we also were talking, I said something about turkey, and you informed me that turkey has changed its pronunciation.
Yes.
So tell me how we say it now.
Türkiye.
Türkiye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Y-E on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And but you don't spell it differently.
You do.
You do spell it differently.
T-U-R-K-I-Y-E.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you know anything? Why? Was it a political move? Was it historic? Has it?
I think it's a mixture of all.
Okay.
Because a lot of the time when people were referring as turkey,
mm-hmm,
a lot of them refer to the animal, which was never been nicely accepted by the Turkish people and the Turkish government. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it took him years to kind of change the name, mm-hmm, but at least that's the story I, mm-hmm, know, but yeah, I haven't researched it very
well.
Deeply,
that's okay.
But that's the story I know, yeah. So they finally changed the name, the pronunciation,
mm-hmm,
and how it is spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the map, like if you go on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Is it spelled correctly,
yeah,
now?
It's legitimately, yeah,
is
Turkey.
It?
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I like saying it. It kind of,
yeah,
just rolls off,
yeah,
your tongue.
That's,
yeah,
fun.
So did you speak different languages? Did you learn different languages or no?
No, my grandparents and my aunts prohibited us learning Yugoslavian or Macedonian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. They would never taught us,
uh-huh,
and they would never teach us. And then they said that was their secret language. So.
Oh, so then you, yeah, could never understand them?
No.
They probably got away with a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about comfort food,
mm,
for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here in America, we have, I think, probably everywhere, comfort food in the wintertime mm-hmm. is something that we all crave, we mm-hmm. yearn for. And here it usually is a big stew or a pot of something that sits overnight on the stove and bubbles and mm-hmm. simmers and keeps the kitchen smelling good. You have a favorite dish called, what's it called?
Kapuska.
Kapuska. I just see kapuska. And that is a stew. That's a Turkish stew. Mm-hmm. I have a recipe here somewhere. So can you tell us about that? Do you remember eating it as a child? Who made that? Did your grandma make that?
Yep. My grandma made it every winter, multiple times during the winter. You use cabbage. So it's a cabbage stew with meat.
What kind of meat do you put in it?
We usually, in Turkey, we ate a lot of lamb.
Lamb, yeah.
So, and she loved lamb too. Mm-hmm. So we usually cook lamb.
I love lamb too.
And we also ate a lot of veal, which it's really, it's not very common in the United States, or at least I don't see it very often. But,
no, you don't.
So veal and lamb are very, mm-hmm. very common in Turkish cuisine.
I think there's a big movement against veal mm-hmm. in the United States because of the way that the calves are raised.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of traps them, and it's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. So veal's not as easy to come by. Okay. I have eaten it, and it's good, mm-hmm. but I can't eat veal anymore. I just mm-hmm. can't.
Yeah. In about 25 years, it had a major downturn around the year 2000.
Yeah.
There was a big movement at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's still available in really high-end restaurants, but that's
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I want our listeners to know is that we're going to post this kapuska on Facebook, on our Stirring the Pot Facebook page, and that'll go up pretty soon after the show. Mm-hmm. It'll take a couple hours, but we'll get that up. And then you can try it, because we think it's important that all of us, we love to cook, and we want to mm-hmm. share our recipes and our methods. And how long does this one take? Is it an afternoon of cooking, or is it get it all in the pot and let it cook for a couple hours?
Yeah, I think it's usually, I use my Dutch pan, Dutch pan.
Dutch oven,
mm-hmm. and so I just as long as the meat is cooked, because mm-hmm. cabbage doesn't take that long to cook,
right?
But as long as the meat is kind of cooked and you're ready, and mm-hmm. I usually put it in really low for a couple hours. Last time I actually, once everything was mixed, I put it in my oven. I put my Dutch oven into an oven.
Yeah.
And then I cooked or baked it like that, and it was really good. This is also my daughter Alara's favorite recipe.
Oh, is it?
She loves kapuska. And so every winter she goes like, when are you making the first mm-hmm. kapuska of the season? Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I made it in the regular oven, mm-hmm. and she said that this was actually really, really good.
I
think I'm gonna do it that way now.
I did the same thing the other day. I made a recipe called Swiss steak, which is basically round steak, but mm-hmm. I used tri-tip because I wanted it to be more tender. But mm-hmm. it's a mix. You brown that, and then you have your mirepoix is celery, green pepper, carrot, and lots of onion, and brown the onions first and do mm-hmm. all that, and then put the meat in on top of that and dump a couple cans of stewed tomatoes on top of that.
Yeah.
And so I put that in the oven for 3 or 4 hours at 275, very low, in my Dutch oven mm-hmm. in the oven. mm-hmm. And then I let it sit in the fridge overnight.
Oh.
And then the next day I put it in again at 200 for 2 hours. And it was just so good. Those flavors meld. I've never done that before. It was kind of an experiment because I wanted the taste to be really deep. And what happens when you cook like that is all those vegetables, they get sweet in their own juices. And the meat is literally falling apart. So it's not tough. You don't have to really work at chewing it, you know? So I did that, and that sounds like that's what this would be.
Yeah, we could do that. We could try that one mm-hmm. that way too. Yes, it's very similar the way
it
that
is
you're
similar.
Making,
I see mean, that you have Aleppo pepper in yours.
Yes,
let's talk about Aleppo pepper.
Yes.
So I recently, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, discovered Aleppo pepper, mm-hmm. and I use it on everything now. Mm-hmm. And you can get Aleppo pepper that is really strong, hot pepper.
Yes.
Or you can get some that's a little bit lighter and kind of mild. Smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
of
smoky.
Mild.
What do you use different peppers for different Aleppo for different dishes?
So in our house, we like to eat spicy, but mm-hmm. we have a exchange student who doesn't like spicy food. So we have to go with milder now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we had to get the alopo pepper mm-hmm. that's mild.
That's milder.
And so that she, you know, she gets mm-hmm. to eat too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there are different strength of heat mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. alopo pepper, and it also depends on how smoky it is. Some of them are not, like, some of them are sun-dried. Mm. So it has that sun-dried flavor. Mm-hmm. And some of them are smoke-dried. So it has a much intense smoke flavor.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a
lot. And some of them are, like, very, very red. Like,
I was going to ask you, what do they look like? We have a lot of gardeners who like to grow peppers and things. And mm-hmm. Do you think we could grow those here?
Oh, that I don't know.
I don't know either.
I always bought them dry.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It would be fun to know that.
Yeah,
I have two different kinds of Aleppo pepper mm-hmm. and one of them will knock the top of my head off. And so I use that very sparingly.
Yeah.
But for our listeners, I can also tell you that this recipe has paprika and sumac in mm-hmm. it and some oregano, some cumin.
Mm. You know, Rich's spices. Yeah, I buy that sumac.
It's so good. Sumac is so good.
Sumac is yummy.
Well, I'm so looking forward to learning more about all of this cooking that's so different for me. I've eaten it.
It looks like a nice thick stew, more so than mm-hmm. a soup. Is that typical?
Yeah. It's a stew.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think we want to make that. I think we should try that. So, one of the other things that we were talking about, you know, I feel like we skipped over your background a little bit.
Oh, that's
and I'm like, well, I want to back up to that.
All right.
So you went to college in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there's sort of a long circuitous story about how you got to Seattle. But I just want our listeners to know that it was a destination in her heart and mind for a long time was to come to Seattle, and the opportunity then presented itself, correct?
Yes, definitely.
And tell me how you discovered Vashon.
We discovered Vashon thanks to our friends, the Keepers, Aaron and Doug Keeper. They live here. And then Aaron and Doug. Aaron and I used to work together. And so we, because they live here, we came to visit them.
I see.
Yeah. And then we just fell in love with the mm-hmm. island. I mean, just like everybody mm-hmm. else who comes to mm-hmm. Vashon, right? Mm-hmm. So we did some weekends. We rented some Airbnbs and kind of spent some weekends mm-hmm. here and kind of feel it, whether or not it's a place for us.
Do we
really like it?
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, very smart.
So, the kids loved it. We loved it. Mm-hmm. And we decided, okay, it's time for us to make the move. And
did you have difficulty with the seasonal changes with all the rain?
No. I mean, I heard the saying that you have to spend two winters in Vashon.
Yes.
You have to survive two winters in Vashon to be able to live in Vashon. Mm-hmm. The first year was a little hard. Yeah. It was really dark. I mm-hmm. wasn't used to being in the dark all the time. Mm-hmm. And then we had that winter storm. That was a little scary.
Oh, the big ice storm.
We had a big, big winter storm that mm-hmm. on our first winter.
On your first winter.
And we ran out of, I mean, we didn't have electric for five, 6 days. Mm-hmm. And that was quite an interesting experience.
I bet it was.
We're like, what are we doing?
Well, luckily you had friends who could help you through it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, we have wonderful neighbors.
And I'm so glad. And you have, Celine's very active in the community as well. She's mm-hmm. on the board of directors of Women Hold the Key.
Yes.
And tell me about your work. You don't have to name places or anything, but what you do for a living.
I manage radiation oncology clinics at a hospital, mm-hmm. in one of our hospitals in the city. Mm-hmm. And I am on the board with Women Hold the Key mm-hmm. and Journeyman. Both of them
are and the Journeyman too.
Wonderful, wonderful organizations in our islands. Yes. So I'm very, very proud. So it's,
I think that's it. You know,
I don't know how much detail that
you have a family that you've raised.
Yes, you have two lovely teenagers.
Yes, I do. I do. I have my son Arda, who just graduated from high school.
Yay, Arda! I saw him in the parade, in the senior parade, and they were just having such a good time.
They were. They were. And he's going into healthcare now as well. And our daughter Alara is a junior. Mm-hmm. And we also have a German exchange student, Ida, with us this year.
I knew it, with the spicy food.
Yeah.
It's one to know one.
And your husband.
Yes.
Is a baker.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about that.
He's a self taught baker, and he started baking about, I want to say, 5 years ago, after we moved here.
Okay.
And he started with a sourdough. And then as I would tell him, like, oh, I wish we had this food from Turkey. And then he would research us, and he would try to figure out a way to make it. Mm-hmm. And so he loves researching. Loves researching.
Well, you've said that he's a scientific cook.
Yes.
Really. I mean, he weighs and measures, and everything is scientific, which is opposite of you.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. I mean, he'll make a pilaf, and he'll measure the rice, the water, the butter, including the salt. Mm-hmm. He'll put it on, like, he has, I think, 15 milligram or whatever.
Oh, the scale.
Kitchen scale. Yeah. He'll put everything in the kitchen scale. And that's how it always comes out perfect.
And then it always works, doesn't it?
Yeah. But that's not how I learned to cook.
I know.
And it drives him crazy because I make it and it tastes good. And he goes like, well, did you measure? I'm like, nope.
No, I just threw this in and threw that in.
Yeah. That's how I learned from my grandma. That's how she made it.
Yeah. Chaos theory.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick moment here to thank our underwriters,
and we couldn't do it without you.
Never.
Hawthorne Stereo, sellers of exceptional hi-fi since 1946. Hawthorne specializes in new and used stereo music systems, from vintage turntables to high-end digital streaming and beyond. You can find them on the web at hawthornestereo.com.
VOV underwriting support is provided by Puget Sound Energy, offering tips and resources to save energy, save money, and stay comfortable during every season at pse.com/lower.
And we are back.
Hello, hello. We're back with Stirring the Pot. And Celine Demir and I, and sometimes Heidi Skrypek, are talking about lots of different kinds of food ideas, and basically introducing Celine to people who may not know her. Celine's going to be hosting with me every second Tuesday of every month at 3 o'clock. Yes. So I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we are coming up on a major holiday in America. And I know a lot of people have mixed emotions about Thanksgiving because of its origins and those. It's difficult to talk about sometimes. Mm-hmm. So for this particular chat, let's keep it at, it's a family day, and we all get together. And I know that you don't have Thanksgiving in Turkey, but you have turkey in Turkey.
Yes.
Turkey. So Celine, tell me again the story about the kind of turkey that your grandmother fixed for you when you were growing up. You have to listen to this, because this is a method I had never heard of.
So my grandma, every New Year's Eve, she would cook turkey with potatoes, but it wouldn't be the turkey that the way we cook in here. It was usually it's kind of chopped into the legs and the breast, and kind of what do they call it, blotched, or like
spatchcock kind of
yes. Thank you. I always forget like what it's
that's
called.
A good word too.
So she would do that, and then she would lay all the potatoes and onion and some type of pepper on the round pans or trays that we have, like big one, because usually my aunts and my uncles would come, and then she would lay that, and then she would put the Spatchblad?
Spatchcock. Just the turkey. Just the turkey.
Just the turkey on top of it. And then she would make a sauce with tomato paste.
Oh.
Yes. So in Turkey,
and did that go in the oven with the rest of it
on top of it? Mm-hmm. Mm. So you make a paste with the tomato paste, and then you kind of pour all over it, and then it would go into these special ovens that was in every family's on top of the fridge.
Yeah, let's do a little segue here. We were talking about these ovens, and I couldn't quite picture what she was talking about, but I looked them up on the web, and in Turkish kitchens, according to Celine, everybody has this kind of oven, and it's a big round gizmo oven with different levels in it. It has a couple or three,
mostly one or two levels.
One or two levels.
Mm-hmm. Ours was the older style, so it only had one level.
Does it have a name?
So in Turkey, we call them davul fırın.
And how do you spell that? Do you know?
So, well, it's D-A-V-U-L F-I-R-I-N. So if you were to translate, davul means drum.
Oh, well, it does look like a drum.
It looks like a drum. So it's called drum oven, if you were to translate. But so that's what we would usually use. To bake. I rarely saw my grandma use our regular oven. We always use that oven for some reason. Yeah.
Do you have one here?
No. Oh.
Well, I took the liberty of looking them up online yesterday, and they're there. They're out there.
Oh, yeah, they're out there.
You can order them online, and I just, now I'm lusting after one. But I'd, you know, what would I use it for? I don't need it, but I'd love to see one, and I'd love to see how it works.
My husband has a commercial oven.
Oh, so, well, yeah.
I don't think we need another
oven. I don't think you need another oven. That's true. That's true. So this turkey, that was the whole meal then?
So that was part of the meal. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bones and the other parts of the turkey that she would make a soup with.
Okay.
And then, and that soup is not like the chicken noodle soup or turkey noodle soup that we usually eat in here. It's usually had a white part that she would put it. So it's based with flour, yogurt, and egg.
Oh.
And she would mix that and with a little bit of lemon juice. Mm-hmm. And then she would put that on top of inside of the soup. And
so like little dumplings or like...
You mix it so it doesn't become a dumpling. So it just changes the color from clear to almost like milky.
Mm.
And it adds a little bit
creamy.
It makes it a little bit creamy. Mm-hmm. And you can make it more creamy if you want to add a little bit more flour in it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depended. And then she would put orzo pasta in it.
Yum.
And some vegetables.
And so squeeze a lemon.
Yes, lots of lemon.
Lots of lemon. Yeah.
We eat lots of lemon, lots of yogurt. That's like the staple of the Turkish cuisine. Mm-hmm. There's yogurt for everything.
You know, talking about yogurt, Celine and I were talking about yogurt last week, and I eat yogurt every day, and I really love it. I love Greek yogurt.
Yes.
And she said, have you ever had Bulgarian yogurt? And I had never even heard of Bulgarian yogurt. And for those of you listening, it is available at Thriftway. I found it there. It comes in a glass jar. And it's very different from what American yogurt is. Yeah. It's close to Greek yogurt, but it has much more tang.
Yes.
And it's a different consistency. One of the things I loved about finding it was that it is presented in a glass jar. I loved that. It's not plastic. It's in a glass jar.
Love that.
So just as a little aside here, I brought it home. I thought, ooh, I'm going to have this really fabulous yogurt. I can't wait to taste it. And I got home and I tasted it. And it was like, holy cow. Oh my, I pucker up, girl. It was so tangy. I just really didn't like it. I thought, oh my
God.
Sorry,
I forgot to tell you that.
And then I thought, well, I better try it again, you know. So I mixed it up with a banana and that was good. I could deal with that. And then I thought, well, okay, I'll be brave and try it. Well, now I can't get enough of it. It's a different consistency. It's got a lot of tang to it. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like it. It's so different. Mm-hmm. So you have found lots of things in America that are in the same sort of name as you have in Turkey. like yogurt, mm-hmm. but it's very different. Cheese mm-hmm. for another thing.
Feta cheese, yes, yeah. definitely.
So how is Turkish feta cheese different?
It is much tangier than is it? The Greek cheese.
The tang is the factor, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. And it has, in Turkish feta cheese, there's, I think the consistency. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's very soft and sometimes it's really hard. So you get like very different variety.
Oh.
And, but the tangness is, I think it's the key.
And so are there different uses for like a very soft one as opposed to mm-hmm. a hard
yeah.
one?
So yeah. they used very soft, soft ones in the breakfast. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you like the hard ones, you eat them in the breakfast too. It really yeah. doesn't matter. Yeah. But there's a different type of, white cheese, or I think it's kind of a feta cheese. It's called Lohr cheese. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the farm cheese in here, or not quite like cottage cheese, but they use that in making a lot of bureks. Mm-hmm. So it's an inside filling mm-hmm. for a lot of pastries.
For those of you who don't know, because I didn't know either, burek is something really special, and we're going to devote mm-hmm. a show to burek. It is, Celine has described to me what she does when she makes it, and it's a grandmother recipe yes. as well. Tell us a little bit about burek, yeah. would you?
Yes. I grew up eating burek almost every weekend.
And that is B-O-R-E-K.
Okay. Yes. It's very Macedonian. It's very Balkans. Mm-hmm. If you go to a different countries in the Balkans area, which is, you know, anybody anywhere from Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, Yugoslavia, they all, I mean, even Greece has bureki, right?
Yes, they do.
So it's very, very similar. Every region makes it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. The main thing is you have these pastry filled with any kind of filling you want, mm-hmm. and you just bake it, and it's lots of butter sunflower oil.
That goes without
you know.
Saying, yeah. 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 And the thing I loved about hearing about it is that it's a labor of love, and
yes.
it takes
a while
all afternoon
yes.
to make this
definitely.
Dish, which we will talk about in detail at some mm-hmm. other time, but.
I want to talk about it now.
Well of course you do, Heidi. But we have to wait until I have experienced a lesson.
Okay.
And Celine's going to teach me how to make
yes.
it. And
yes.
then we'll talk about it. But it's a long, involved process that Celine says, if you're in a bad mood, you better not make it.
That's what my grandma said.
Uh-huh.
She said that it would not turn out well.
Revenge burek.
You have to be in the mood to make
yeah,
it because it takes
yeah.
a long time.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, it reminds me, is it a one person job, or are there people around the table helping?
I mean, one person can mm-hmm. do it, and that's how a lot of people do it. But mm-hmm. Growing up, I always helped my grandma,
sure.
you know, making the little doughs.
Yeah.
I had my own little...
Your rolling pin?
My rolling pin mm-hmm. that was small that my father made for me. He was a furniture guy. So I would sit down with her, and mm-hmm. we would just open each layers together.
Many,
and,
many layers.
Yeah, and yeah. I was in elementary school, so it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun experience.
It kind of reminds me of what happens here in certain holidays where certain nationalities have a dish that
yes.
is an all afternoon mm-hmm. kind of thing. And
yeah.
sometimes families gather around the table
yeah.
and help. Like if you look at a Mexican tradition of tamales.
Yes.
Those take a long time to mm-hmm. make, and they're very dear, and they're mm-hmm. so delicious. And I've been at gatherings where there's maybe six or eight people sitting around the table
yeah.
making tamales
yeah.
and having coffee, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
In Norwegian, I was raised in a Norwegian community, we made lefse.
Mm,
and
yes.
lefse is a potato bread. It looks like a tortilla, mm-hmm. like a flour tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
And that too is a labor of love. And it reminded me when you were talking about all the cooks and the grandmas knowing that they made it correctly,
yes.
the lefse thing is a big deal, you know, because there's some women swear by margarine and some women swear by butter, and
mm-hmm.
it's the kind of potato
yeah.
you use, and you know, it's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this burek reminds me of that because
yeah.
there are, I'm sure, different methods and different recipes in different
absolutely.
Families.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And my husband will always say that it depends on what kind of flour you use.
Oh, I suppose.
I mean, the amount of flours that man tried while baking, it's incredible.
You know, that's a whole topic, isn't it? I don't know a lot about all different semolina flours and all the different kinds of weights and pasta flours.
Even in the regular flour, there are so many different types that he was telling me, and then how much it makes a difference in your baking.
That's a professional baker for you.
Yeah.
You know, he really is. So what else were we going to talk about? What else we got going on here?
Well, I can also tell you that even though I, you know, I have my background in Turkey, but when I moved to the United States, I gained an American grandma.
Oh, good for you. And what'd you learn from her?
So my best friend's grandma became my American grandma. And she was the one that I went to Thanksgiving potluck first.
Oh, okay. So, your first Thanksgiving in America?
Yes.
Okay.
So we went into her house. She invited me over. I never had a Thanksgiving before. Oh. And she was a very traditional cook, you know, from Southern. And she just like very... traditional Thanksgiving food,
sure,
right?
Southern traditional is a whole...
Yes. There's a regional thing, too.
We know about that.
What did you bring?
I didn't bring anything because I didn't know. I was just invited, so I went there. And we had... It was just incredible experience. And for many, many years, I always went to her house with my best friend, and we spend Thanksgiving together. Mm-hmm. And then the way that she always taught me is that Thanksgiving is the day that we show our appreciation for what we had over the years, and then we're grateful for everything we have. And so it wasn't a religious, or it wasn't what everybody is talking about. It was all about, let's take a moment to be grateful.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the tradition that I have from my American grandma.
Very cool.
And so for many years, while we lived in Tucson, Arizona, close to each other, when she got older and she said, I can't hold it anymore.
Oh,
and then she said, well, I would love for you to hold it.
Oh.
So she kind of passed the baton to me. She gave me her turkey platter and her turkey gravy ball. So I have those.
How lovely.
Yeah. So I still use them every year. So we still do it every year, even if it's just four of us or five of us, or if we have people like 10 of us or just us, and we still do it every year.
Oh, good. And tell me what dishes you make.
So we always make our turkey, and mashed potatoes are very much loved. Mm-hmm. So we always look at a different types of mashed potatoes. Sometimes it's very creamy, and sometimes it's chunky. It just kind of depends on what we're in the mood for, or what kind of recipe my husband figured it out to try. Stuffing is my favorite.
Yes. What do you put in your stuffing?
So I put chestnuts in my stuffing.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we use Ulitz bread. Because he makes really good bread.
Well, sure.
And then I sometimes I put some cornbread mix in there too. Or cornbread croutons. It gives it a little bit of a crunchiness.
A little more crunchy.
Yeah.
A little more body.
Yeah. And so the regular, you know, the celery, the the carrots and onions. And then I put chestnuts. And then the herbs and spices that goes, you know, the traditional
sage.
Yeah. And on top of it, I actually add my little Turkish flavor into it. I put nigella seeds and sesame seeds.
Do you?
Oh, I do.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
I don't know what it is with the nigella seeds. I just so
you just picture
good.
Her. You can't hold her back. It's like, oh, God.
She has to have them. She has to have them.
I have to have them. I just put them
all
in
wonderful.
There. It's so good.
Yeah.
It has a really good fragrance and flavor, in my opinion. So that's what I do. Nobody likes green beans in our house.
Oh, okay.
Except my husband. So I started to making the green beans the way that we make it in Turkey. So it's with tomatoes, onions, and then Romano beans. So it's the flat ones. And then so you kind of cook with the olive oil, and you can eat that cold or hot.
So it could be a salad or a side dish.
Yeah. And so we just make that little for him because he likes it. Mm-hmm. I can eat it. I'm not really crazy about green beans. But so what else do we do? I love sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes sweet potatoes.
Oh, and nobody likes them.
I love sweet potatoes.
It's my favorite part of the meal.
I do too. Love I love sweet potatoes.
So do you fix yourself some?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I do it. I
good.
Do it. Yeah. Sometimes I put, because my American grandma Pat put marshmallows
she
on
did
top.
The southern
of course,
way.
Yep. That's a southern
sticky sweet.
yep. It's like having dessert for a main course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I do it that way. Sometimes I make it with a bourbon mm-hmm. sauce.
Yeah.
So that turned out good too. So I always look at different recipes to try
mm-hmm.
and it's always little because I, you know, I'm the only one who will eat and my husband will try, but mm-hmm. he's not a big fan of sweet
like
potato.
Yeah.
You sound
yeah.
like a short order Thanksgiving
doesn't,
cook.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
One
it
sounds... side dish for you, one side dish for me.
Well, Arda will only eat the stuffing, mashed potato and turkey.
Okay.
That's all he's
That's
gonna
it.
Eat.
That's it for him.
Basic, Arda. Yeah.
And so what about dessert? Are you doing pies?
Do
you?
Yes. So we love pumpkin pie.
Okay.
We love pumpkin pie only during Thanksgiving, though.
Oh, like, really?
Usually we don't, like, mm-hmm. we're not into, you know, buy it and eat it. It's, like, yeah. usually on the Thanksgiving.
I think a lot of people are like that. It's a,
yeah.
that's a Thanksgiving pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I love cherry pie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And... But I don't make pie because I don't know how to make pie crust. And I love pie crust, so I always want to get a good pie crust.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you buy your pies?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, that's the other thing about Thanksgiving is Costco has the best pies. They really do. And
the pumpkin know, pie comes from Costco because that's the one
well,
that's
big, like, it's, yeah. for one thing. And their crust yeah. isn't too bad. I mean, it's yeah. That's a pretty
but
good
But the cherry pie.
Pie
comes local.
Yes.
from one over here.
Yeah.
I
just, cherry pie is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that too. Well, I think we need to take a little break here and thank some more sponsors of ours.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Support for VOB comes from Come On Barber. Offering mobile appointments, pop-up barbershops, and more. Come On Barber reminds the Vashon community to stay spiffy and stay classy. Find out more at www.comeonbarber.com. That's C-M-O-N, Barber, all one word, .com.
Voice of Vashon programming support is brought to you by Island Insurance Center. Trusted agents ready to help you navigate the insurance world and find the best coverage for your insurance needs. Whether it's for your home, auto, small business, farm, or nonprofit, don't wait for peace of mind. Contact us today. To schedule a free policy review and to learn more, visit islandinsurancecenter.com.
And we're back.
Can we do that? Hello.
Hi.
We're going to do this. We're back.
You got no choice.
Here we are. So we've been talking about Thanksgiving and lots of different cultures and food, and now I'm hungry. First of all, I'd like to tell your husband, I'm so worried that I'm going to mispronounce his name.
Uluch. You got it.
Thank you for the... What is it?
Kurpidese.
It just killed me. It was so good. Celine's husband sent a gift for me, and it is like pita, mm-hmm. sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it has famous Nigella seeds on
yeah.
it. And some feta and some onions. And what else is in it?
So it's fermented onions.
Fermented onions.
So he's fermenting things now.
It's really, really good. Thank you.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was really good. So, I'd like to know if you had your dream meal that is based from your upbringing, and mm-hmm. I don't care if, you know, if it's the Yugoslavian piece or mm-hmm. the Greek or the
yeah.
What's in that meal for you?
Ooh. Let's see. It would have to have burek.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
The thing we're going to talk about some other time.
Yes, with spinach or sometimes with leek. Mm-hmm. I like it with leek too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I can tell you is the way that we make it pie dessert. Mm. Not pie dessert. Oh, my gosh. pumpkin dessert.
And
it's usually made on New Year's Eve.
I was going to ask if you had pumpkins.
Okay. Yes. So it's made in New Year's Eve, but it's that big gray pumpkin. It's so hard to find. I haven't found it this year.
Do they have a very thick skin that you almost have to drop on the ground?
Yes.
That's the Hubbard squash.
I haven't been able to find it.
Okay.
So you cut.
You have one, Heidi?
Karen Biondo grows them.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she grows them masterfully.
Oh.
La Biondo Farm. You got
all
it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I will go there.
Yeah.
So you cut them in like cubes. You clean the greens and then the soft parts. And then you put it in your Dutch oven would be good. Mm-hmm. Again, you layer in there and then you put the sugar and you close it and you let it sit overnight.
Not cooked.
No,
okay.
Not cooked. And then in the morning, it has all the juice that released from that pumpkin. And then you bake that.
Mm.
And then you can put, some people put cloves or cinnamon stick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just bake it. It makes the best dessert.
Really?
So yummy. I've made that a couple of times in our Thanksgiving meals as an alternative just to a pumpkin pie. So
do you serve it warm? You serve it
you
cold?
You can eat it either cold or, yeah.
It doesn't have any Nigella seeds in it?
Nope. You can put tahini on it. I've seen some different regions in Turkey that they put tahini on it. I've never put tahini on it.
Right, just a drizzle.
Drizzle, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, my grandma would put walnuts. We would put walnuts.
A little texture.
To kind of give a little bit of a texture to the soft, but it's...
So would you say that's your favorite dessert?
I think it's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of them.
That's interesting.
It's like for me, it's the year is ending, the new year's starting.
Because
it was always like, it was usually made at the New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
like it kind of leaves the old year behind with the pumpkin and sweetness. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, that's really a nice tradition.
And that Dutch oven preparation. David, just 2 weeks ago, took one of
this
my
is
pumpkins.
Her husband.
Yeah, he's a chef. Mm-hmm. And he put it in the Dutch oven and he put it in our wood stove in the fire.
Mm.
And I was like, it's going to be smoky. It's going to be. And he pulled it out and, you know, it didn't have that thick skin like the Hubbard has.
Uh-huh.
But he did it. It's the kind of skin you can eat, the skin of the pumpkin variety, like a pie pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it out and the Dutch oven itself was just covered in smoke and all that, but you lifted up the lid and it was very well cooked and not at all smoky.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used that and I baked a cake, a pumpkin cake.
Oh,
that would be good.
So yummy.
And I have baked two more since. So good. But that particular pumpkin you're talking about is very meaty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is like the meatiest, densest and naturally sweet pumpkin.
My mom used to grow those,
yes.
And that's what we had at home were Hubbard squash. And
so
they're so big and they're so hard to deal with.
Yeah.
But once you get it in your mouth, it's heaven.
Oh, they are.
I totally understand that. Well,
I've
that sounds really good.
Use different pumpkins to make the same dessert and never
it just doesn't
came
work.
Out the right way. It's maybe it was because it's the type of pumpkin they are.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
If
that
it's that meaty,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've never been able to cut it. I just throw it on the concrete and bring it in and dig pieces. I seriously bombs away.
Look out, kitties.
I'll cut my hand off if I try to use a cleaver. There's no way it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I use as a cleaver, but I haven't done it in years. I sort of like cleavers. One time I was actually hacking up a pumpkin with a cleaver. I had company. And I turned around in my apron on and I had my cleaver in my hand and I turned around at a glass of wine in one hand. I turned around and I looked at a couple of my guests and I was saying something and Tom, a guest of mine, said, well, thank God she's more like Julia Child and not Lizzie Borden.
Yeah. Prepare to die.
Prepare to die.
If you opened up your cupboard and your spice rack of your kitchen, and let's just pretend that it's like the penultimate Turkish kitchen pantry, like what would we see? You've already described lemon, Aleppo,
sumac.
Sumac.
Oh, yeah.
What else?
Oregano.
Okay, sure.
A lot of oregano.
We put oregano into everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you grow it too and dry
no,
it?
Okay. No. Cool. I don't like, I only like the Mediterranean oregano.
I was about to ask which one.
Yes.
Because there's Mexican and Greek.
I do not like the taste of the Mexican
oregano. I like the Mediterranean
too.
It's different.
Yeah.
And it does not give the same flavor to my meals that I'm used to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I can just see her getting to America. Something's off here.
Something's off. Yeah.
It's terribly wrong.
Yeah. This isn't right. Yeah. You know, Celine. Yeah. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to tell me about hummus.
Oh, God. So, well, I never ate hummus when I lived in Turkey, and I moved to the United States. Never had hummus. It wasn't where I grew up with.
Yeah.
Hummus is from the southern Turkey and southeast and southern Turkey. So my husband had hummus. So when I had hummus in the United States, I always say, this is the first time I had hummus.
Was he appalled?
He was just laughing at me. He's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. Just not a thing.
Well, you know,
had it.
I think we forget. I know I do. It's like every country has its regional cuisine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hummus was not part of the region that you lived in.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, we have that in America. We were just talking about Southern cooks. It's a different deal from somebody in Maine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's different food. Mm-hmm. And I think, As a foreign American, when I look at the countries you're speaking about, I don't know a lot about their cuisine. I've eaten it. I've been at restaurants or a guest in someone's home and I love it, but I haven't studied it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to talking with world cuisines.
Yes.
Or
me
about
too.
World cuisines with
me
you
too.
Because we're going to explore a lot of things. Sometimes we're going to explore things neither of us knows.
Yeah.
We'll do a little research and find out some interesting facts for people and maybe some good recipes.
Yeah. And like, we love trying different recipes recipes from different country in our house too. Mm-hmm. So we have a German exchange student. So we're
learning. How's that going with the food?
Wonderful.
Are you learning any German food?
We already make, I'm going to mispronounce it, Spatzel.
Oh, Spatzel?
Spatzel.
Yes.
Spatzel.
Yeah.
Ada always corrects me. Spatzel.
Cool.
So my husband made Spatzel for her. And so we're gonna learn different part and different recipes too. She's from southern Germany, and her cuisine is called Swabian cuisine.
I know.
Which this is something I never knew that Germany had multiple different cuisines. So we're learning.
It's not all sauerkraut.
No. And her sweet parents sent us because when we were talking about, you know, we love cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent us a book, the Swabian cuisine book.
Cookbook.
So we know we saw some recipes in there. So we were asking like, well, which one do you like? And she goes like, well, I like eating everything. So she loves all its bread. So as long as there's bread and Nutella, she's happy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then we hosted a Colombian teacher that was at the Chautauqua this past year.
No way.
So we learned, my husband researched and made a couple of different Colombian recipes. And then the other teacher was from Spain. So he made paella.
Oh, yeah.
With chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. She even said that, oh my God, this is as good as what I eat back in Spain.
Is it?
So it was so lovely. Oh, you know,
that's pretty special.
Yeah. For a short period of time, we had another exchange student from Italy. So he learned how to make pasta and he made pasta. So we really love different recipes and different world, like the way that people cook things. I mean,
the methods that people use, there's different methods in every cuisine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I was looking at during, the apple season, I think I mentioned this to you, like the apple is cooked so many different ways and so many different recipes in the world.
Yes.
So I'm following a couple of different Instagram pages and I'm like, keep seeing that. Oh my God, look at this. And I'm sending it to my husband. I'm like, look at that.
Yum.
Yeah.
Well, it's really fun. It's really interesting and fun that you have a partner who equally enjoys what it is you're doing. And Heidi, you have that as well. You're both good cooks.
Thank you.
And it's fun to be in the kitchen.
Yeah. Thank you. We enjoy that. Yeah. And making pasta. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Yeah, I had pasta at your house not too long ago, and I couldn't eat it all, so she sent it home with me, and oh my goodness, was it good. Thank you, David.
Basil linguine.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
yeah.
Sounds yummy. And she served it with salmon. It was so good. It was just lovely.
So lovely.
Hey.
What about fish in Turkey?
So fish in Turkey is different than the fish in here.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it is.
Smaller fishes. Mm-hmm. And lots of fishes from the Sea of Marmara, Black Sea, and the Aegean Sea. So they all have special fishes that are available in different seasons. Mm. And so there's a lot. There are many fish markets that you can go get fresh fish.
Yum.
And usually either people will bake it or... Just pan fry it, and then lots of lemon juice and lots of arugula salads. That kind of goes with it.
Oh man, I'm hungry.
Yes, and then you can also have rakı, which is the ouzo, Turkish ouzo.
Wait a minute, rakı, is it like rocky?
Rocky, yeah.
But doesn't taste like licorice, or does it?
It does.
Oh, it's got the anise in it.
Oh yeah.
Okay, because rocky in Greece is just like. Hooch. It's like...
Can you drink it? Do you like
it? Fuel. Whereas, but ouzo's ouzo. And
ouzo is lighter version, but rakı is really strong.
Oh, and you cook the fish in that?
No, you drink.
Oh, you drink? Okay, good. I was probably washing.
Wait a minute, what?
So rakı bullock, which means rakı and fish, it's like it goes together.
I see.
And it's kind of a nice evening during the summer. Ah. You have your little drink and then you have the fish and you
like
have
the Russians and
different
the vodka.
Different types of salads, what we call a meze.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Meze,
yeah, sure. So there's different mezes and I mean people that's lovely.
A community event, friends and family around the table.
Yeah.
Drinking and eating.
Yeah.
Is there anything better?
No.
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 There's nothing better than
for
that.
Me.
There's nothing better than sitting around the table
commiserating. Is there foraging in Turkey? Like for edible mushrooms, do you guys do that there?
I don't know.
You know, like chanterelles and porcini mushrooms and that kind of thing.
I mean, I know there are a lot of Turkish recipes that has mushrooms, but I don't know about like how the foraging goes.
Maybe
honestly.
They just show up in a market.
Well, somebody forages.
Yeah, somebody does.
Yeah.
Just wondered if that has a presence there.
Yeah, that I don't know, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'm curious about is, why is the coffee so strong?
Oh, you know, can I interrupt for just
a
second?
Yeah.
The way I met Celine was with coffee.
Okay.
We were at Women Hold the Key and they do a sort of like an open house, just drop by.
Community day.
On Friday.
Fridays.
And Monday
Mondays
too.
Mondays and Fridays.
And for those of you who live on Vashon, it's a wonderful place to go. It's down on the corner of Cove Road. And Vashon Highway, there used to be a vet there and a YMCA. Mm-hmm. And now it's Women Hold the Key. And it's a wonderful, beautiful space to come and bring your computer, bring your book. I mean, I was there last week on Wednesday. And there were other women there. We were commiserating about, you know, what happened on Tuesday. And it just is a place to nurture women. It's not a crisis center. It's not a...
It's a community.
It's a community of women.
It's a women's community.
They have wonderful coffees and wonderful Friday open house. Just come in and see. So I thought, well, I'll just go see. So here's Celine, making Turkish coffee, the real deal. And it was so good. And I had to kind of laugh, you know, because some people say, well, could I have sugar and cream in mine?
Uh-oh.
And Celine is so polite. She'll just say, well, you know, we don't really put cream in it. But boy, that was really good. And yes, it's very strong.
I do put just a tad bit of sugar.
A titch of sugar,
I think it just needs just a tiny bit just to give that, take that little edge, a dark edge.
Mm-hmm. And it does.
I think it makes coffee tastes so much better.
And but it's just a tiny bit. I've seen you do it. It's just a tiny,
just very little.
It's a little itty bitty cup, and then a little tiny, just a little bit of sugar in there
with a big punch.
With a big punch, yes, yeah.
You're up.
So, is it the roast? Is that what makes?
I think so.
It must be the roast. So, where do you get your coffee for Turkish coffee?
So, there's a Turkish market in Kirkland that I go and I get it from there. You can also get it from Amazon too, but I usually like to get it from the Turkish market.
Yes, I like it. Yeah. I like it too. We're going to make a field trip to the Turkish market one of these days.
I would
too,
love that. So, yeah. I would love that.
Well, Celine, thank you. This has been so much fun.
And it has been
running out of time, but there's much more to talk about.
Yeah.
And we'll have some time on the second Tuesday.
Yes.
Of December. I think that's the 5th. I don't remember. But anyway, thank you, listeners. Mm-hmm. And goodbye to everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
See you next time. Bye. Bye.